In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Saint Joseph showed himself to be a godly and wise man. He had no pride or arrogance. Even though he'd been wronged and had the right, he wouldn't shame the Virgin Mary. He was set to suffer the loss of his betrothed, to put her away quietly and suffer her shame in himself. This was the best and wisest, most decent and ideal course. Of course, not according to the wisdom of men. But no good comes from vengeance or making a scene. But an angel intervened. The child came by the Holy Spirit, not by a man. Mary's virginity, her loyalty, and her love for Joseph remained pure. It wasn't merely lip service, but real. And things were not quite what they seemed. This child is the Lord who saves his people. He's the Messiah. Now, if Joseph took the first bit of news well and planned to act in an honorable way, then this news was probably that much harder. For even then, Joseph could have put her away quietly and no one could have blamed him. Indeed, he still would have been counted as a decent and honorable man. The angel didn't tell him he had to take Mary as his wife, only that he shouldn't be afraid to take her. Whatever the busybodies of Nazareth were saying, she'd not been unfaithful. But you know full well that reality rarely ever stops gossip. Even as Joseph knew the gossip wasn't true, his shame, though undeserved, remained. Even if the gossips heard the truth, they wouldn't believe it. And even if they did, gossips are always liars. They embellish their tales even when they know it's false. That's the first point. Joseph is going to be shamed in this no matter what. What shames you? Is it something you've done? Something your children have done? Or something that's been done to you? God commands that you not tell lies about slander or betray your neighbor, but explain everything in the kindest way, because your name and that of your neighbor is intimately and connected and tied to God's by virtue of holy baptism. To be gossiped about and shamed is to suffer the lies and attacks of Satan. To engage in gossip and slander is to engage in the devil's work. But despite the fact that Mary was faithful, what cannot be denied is that God took her from Joseph. He impregnated her. Joseph would never be her first or deepest love. He could legally, even if not morally, walk away and simply know in his heart that she hadn't betrayed him, that both she and he were honorable no matter how it appeared. That's the second point. That even as there's no escape from shame, so also is there no escape from the cross. And that's a hard truth to accept. By the very nature of it being a cross means it hurts. No one chooses his own. Saint Joseph did not choose this cross, but the Lord lays one on us all. It serves to chasten and discipline the flesh, that we would cling ever more steadfastly to him and to his word of promise. All remaining self-reliance and self-justification must be purged from us. You cannot escape the cross. But Joseph had wisdom beyond caring about the opinions of men or that of the philosophers. Grant that to us all, dear Heavenly Father. True wisdom, that which begins with the fear of the Lord, occasionally directs you to do things the wise of this world call foolish, impractical, or extreme. Like dying rather than pretending to worship Caesar. or taking a wife pregnant with someone else's child. Joseph submitted to God's will. He clung to the tenacious hope that God is good. Of his own will, he took up the guardianship of both Mary and the Messiah. In doing so, he took up a cross like few men have ever known, and the dirty minds and petty men of this world snickered at him and his bride all their days. They called the Son of God illegitimate, and that's putting it nicely. When Joseph went to Bethlehem for the census, there was no room for them in the homes of his family members and friends who lived there. From there, he was forced into exile in Egypt. And if the tradition should be true, that James and these others were sons from a previous marriage, that's a cross unlike any other. They must have thought their father had gone mad in his old age, marrying a young girl and taking on the child of another. And what did they think of that child who, despite their questions about his parentage, seemed never to do any wrong, who was ever obedient, generous, and kind, who made them look bad, and who caused and required such great sacrifice and expense for all who came near unto him? Jesus may have loved his neighbor as himself, been the perfect son and brother, but his presence is always dangerous and always brings suffering. It wasn't Mary's heart alone that was pierced, then or now. Her heart was pierced as a mother watching her son's rejection, passion, and death. Your heart is pierced in the division Jesus brings amongst your friends, family, and neighbors. It's not that he comes to cause violence. You know that. But the men of this world cannot and do not abide his word or his presence. How many family gatherings today or tomorrow will turn awkward because you want and need to be here rather than continuing to simply make merry? What gossip will be spoken behind your back as soon as you're out the door? To desire the presence of Jesus in this life is to bear reproach for his sake. But that is the cost of wisdom and the reason it's so uncommon. Men on their own cannot obtain it. And when they glimpse it, they think it's foolishness. Not even Socrates, Plato, or Aristotle could boast of the wisdom and self-control of simple Saint Joseph, a man who knew himself and his limitations, a man of moderation and decency. Above all, he was a man who trusted that God works all things together for good and that God would provide. He knew the mercy that endures forever, that joins itself to the flesh of men to be the sacrifice for sin and beacon of light and life in this dark and dying world. Joseph knew what it means to belong to someone else, to trust his goodness and providence. There's also another extreme virtue in Saint Joseph. He didn't act merely for the sake of honor or what was wise. Rather, his was a willingness to sacrifice born of love. No doubt what really scared Joseph in all of this was not the possibility, seemingly evident, of Mary's moral weakness, but the idea that she didn't love or want him. Joseph loved Mary, but maybe he'd lost her to another man. Yet when the angel told him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her womb was conceived by the Holy Spirit," he was freed. This meant she'd not been unfaithful. She still loved him. He could still have her. And Joseph loved Jesus also. An adopted son is no less a son in any way at all than a biological son. So don't feel too sorry for him. He got what he wanted. He got to marry and live with Mary until he died. He got to guard and protect, love and serve, provide for and wait upon her and upon Jesus for the rest of his life. Thus was he willing to take up that cross and be the Lord's guardian. He counted her worthy of the cost, even as God so counted him. In this way, the Lord provided a father and guardian for the Blessed Virgin Mary and for her baby, that this baby might go forth for the love of evil men like you, and buy you out of captivity with his death, and pour his life into you through his resurrection, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow you. The child in Mary's womb sets you free. He comes to redeem and rescue you from all your shame and guilt, both real and imagined, whether deserved or not. He covers your nakedness in his blood and righteousness. He exalts you to heaven in his flesh. He lightens your cross in his word of absolution, even as he strengthens you to bear it by his body and blood. Thus is his name called Jesus, for he saves his people. He saves you from their sins. Jesus comes in his flesh and blood, in word and sacrament, to forgive, to bestow life, and to raise you up. And in those waters swirled by angelic fingers, you are adopted as real and true sons and heirs of his Father in heaven. St. Joseph was exactly right. The Lord works all things together for good. Today shall ye know that the Lord will come and deliver you. And in the morning ye shall see the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.